Welcome to Victory Christian Center. You're about to hear from our senior pastor, Pastor Stefan Schlugel, as he brings a message on Sunday service.
We are on a spiritual journey that lasts for 40 days. The title of this series of messages is Overcoming Faith. And this is part of our 40-day campaign where we are traveling, as it were, on a spiritual journey designed to strengthen and to build our faith in a new way, to see God's miraculous power released in our lives and through our lives. And we're believing God for fresh faith, that we're able to lay hold of all the promises of God, that somehow we're able to, you know, to be freshly strengthened to be able to overcome life's challenges. We're receiving all that God has in the area of His peace and His joy, His provision, His protection, His healing, His deliverance, and that God's will is manifest in our lives, in and through us, in our families, in our city, and also in our nation. Today is the fourth message in this series, and of course we did a pre-message there as well. All of these messages are online on our YouTube channel. If you've missed any of those, I encourage you to go back and to catch up on things. Let me say that if you have dedicated yourself to that 40-day journey as part of your, you know, your spiritual exercise, and in terms of being committed into the meetings in the local church, committed in the small groups, committed to do the confessions and the reading that we have also given you, I would suggest that by the time you get to the end of that journey, you will probably know more on the area of faith and how to operate by faith than what much of the church world knows around the world, sadly, because much of the faith teaching has been rejected in different quarters and different places, and yet we feel the need to go back to the basics again, to start, you know, faith, how to walk by faith from A to Z, and that really is part of our 40-day journey. Today is day 22, and the subtitle of today's message is How to Pray the Prayer of Faith. We want to speak about the prayer of faith. And we want to know how to pray the prayer of faith. Last week, we spoke about the God kind of faith. And we learned some lessons there from the passage of Scripture that we looked at from Mark chapter 11. And we said that the first lesson was that our words spoken in faith, and this is just a quick recap here, that our words spoken in faith first have effect in the unseen realm before their effect becomes visible in the seen realm. We said the second lesson that we learned was that we are agents in God's kingdom. We have been given the God kind of faith to carry on the work that Jesus Christ began to get God's will done in the earth. The third lesson we learned was that we should focus more on speaking and on declaring than we do on believing. And as I said, that was part of the teaching. I don't have time to go over the whole thing again. I'm just giving you the three, four main points. Point number four, we said that there are two types of confession. As we confess the Word of God and we declare the truth of God's Word, we said that there is the confession unto faith, and then there's the confession of faith. We start out with the confession unto faith, and we keep going until faith is fully established in our heart concerning what we are confessing, and then our confession becomes a confession of faith, and that's when things really begin to happen. Many people give up in the process of confession unto faith because they expect things to start to happen immediately, and typically things take a little while, and we've got to just adopt this truth and this concept as a lifestyle of faith rather than trying it to see if it'll really work. All right, and so with that, I want to swing into the book of James, chapter 5. The scripture is, of course, in your outline. It's also on the screen behind me. And for those of you that are watching online, there is a link to the outline just below your screen on the YouTube channel there. You click on that, it'll take you directly to the outline. It'll just help you, help us all to get a hold of the Word of God better this morning. So James chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Circle the words there, the prayer of faith. All right, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Actually, the word save there speaks about, you know, zozo in the Greek, which speaks about saving, healing, delivering, making whole. It is one of those all-encompassing words. And probably a better translation would have been that the prayer of faith will heal the sick and the Lord will raise them up. And so speaking about the prayer of faith, we really want to learn how to pray the prayer of faith effectively and consistently. You know, Kenneth Hagin, in his teaching on the subject of prayer, he says prayer is a little bit like sports. You know, you got a cover term of sports, and then you get different ball games such as, you know, rugby, baseball, soccer, you know, football or whatever it is, and basketball, these various games. And then prayer is a bit like that. Prayer is the overall covering term, but then you get specific types of prayer. And each one of those prayers have got their own rules attached to it, in the same way as different types of sports have their own rules attached to it. You cannot play soccer with rugby rules, and you can't play baseball on a court where you got, you know, basketball going on. You will get horribly confused. And Brother Hagin used to point out that many Christians are confused because they're mixing all these rules together into one bag, as it were, and then they can't work out why it's not working. They're fuzzy in their mind and they're unclear, and then it becomes a cause of frustration. And so that's one of the reasons why we want to teach on that. We're not teaching on all prayer today, but we are teaching on one of probably 7-8 different types of prayer. And today we are discussing, as I said, the prayer of faith. Now, the prayer of faith is a type of prayer. It's the kind of prayer that we pray to change things. You know, when things need to change, circumstances need to change, situations need to change, or symptoms need to be dealt with in somebody's body and so forth. Well, the prayer of faith is the prayer to pray in those situations. We also pray the prayer of faith when we're talking about getting something from God, receiving something from God. And something that has to be promised in His written word. So that brings me to the first point, is that you and I need to know the will of God concerning specific needs that we have in our lives. The will of God is of utmost importance, and here is why. We need to know the will of God concerning the situation, and also we must know what we want from God. What do you need from God? People pray and say, God, bless me. And you know, it is a prayer. It's a valid prayer, but it is a very broad prayer. But if somebody has need in the area of healing, then you need to specify what that is. Somebody's got needs in the area of finance, you need to specify, and we need to know God's will in that specific area. And that's the deal, and that's point number C in your outline. Have a promise in God's word that promises what you want. All right, have a promise. Find a promise in God's word that promises what you want. You know, God's written word is God's will concerning any situation. People say, well, you know, the will of God is mysterious. You never really know what God really wants, what He wills. No, it's not mysterious at all. God's will is only mysterious to people who don't know the word of God, because the word of God is the will of God, and the will of God is the word of God. Those two are the same thing. So if we get into the Word of God and find out what God has spoken to us about, that is the will of God concerning any situation. There's a quote here from a minister that's gone to heaven some years ago. His name was F.F. Bosworth. Reverend F.F. Bosworth was the author of a book entitled Christ the Healer. Christ the Healer was a book that we had in our Bible college as a textbook for the subject of healing, and because it's really one of those like classic books that, in fact, I would say that the book is not just specific to healing, but it is very specific to faith, because I believe that the man had revelation beyond his time at the time when he wrote that book, and it's just an absolute classic, absolutely fantastic. F.F. Bosworth, just a wonderful minister of the gospel, as I say, he's lived, he's since gone to heaven. But here is what he said. He says, faith begins where the will of God is known. So faith, we found out last week, faith comes and faith goes. So evidently faith has a starting point, and then it has an end point, or faith has an end goal, and that is to the manifestation of whatever we are praying about. And he says, faith begins where the will of God is known. So in the prayer of faith, we do not use the words such as, Lord, if it be your will, can I have this, can I have that? Because if we did, it wouldn't be a prayer of faith, but rather a prayer of doubt and uncertainty. Does that make sense? It's interesting, and here's one of those examples where Jesus, one time in his ministry and in his prayer, he prayed, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. We call that the prayer of dedication and consecration to the purposes of God. That's another type of prayer. That's not the prayer of faith. All right. And Jesus prayed that prayer when he came towards the end of his earthly life. He just completed the Last Supper with his disciples. They went down on the Mount of Olives. They went down to the Garden of Gethsemane, which was a kind of an olive grove where they've frequently gone to pray there and so forth. And Jesus said to his disciples, he says, stay here. He says, I'm going to pray. And he says, you also pray so you don't enter into temptation. He went a stone's throw distance away from them. And then he called out to God, and he was beginning to agonize. And that was the place where the Bible says he was in such agony that he sweated drops of blood. There was such an agony going on because he knew exactly what he faced. He faced death on the cross, one of the cruelest death that's ever been designed by wicked mankind. And when we say designed, it's a demonic thing to hang somebody on the cross and to let them suffer up there until they gradually expire with just incredible suffering. It's just incredible. So Jesus began to call out to the Father. He says, Lord, he says, if it be your will, take this cup away from me. Like the cup of having to die on the cross. It's a figurative, a sense of, I don't really want to drink from this cup, but nevertheless, he says, not my will, but you will be done. And so we pray this prayer when we have options before us of going this way. We might say, Lord, if it is your will for me to go this way and to serve you here, then I will go and serve you here. And if it is your will for me to go there and serve you there doing this, then I will do that. I want your will to be done in my life. So that's called the prayer of dedication and consecration. Somehow, much of the church world around the world has grabbed this phrase out of the prayer of dedication, and they stick it into what they hope to be the prayer of faith and say, Lord, if it be your will, can I have some money? Lord, if it be your will, can I be healed? And it's not going to work. Because the prayer of faith needs to have faith in it. And faith is certainty. Faith is confidence of the things that we do not see. Have a look in the scripture here. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. It says, faith is being sure of what we hope for. It is being certain of what we do not see. And I have inserted in there in brackets what we do not yet see. All right. We see the promise of God. We don't yet physically see what God promised to us, but we're praying the prayer of faith so we can receive that and it can manifest in our lives so we can enjoy the things that God has promised. All right? So we can see here that we do not use the phrase, if it be your will, in the prayer of faith, because it negates the prayer of faith. You can see that, all right? So the next point is point number two, pray the prayer of faith only once concerning any specific need. Only once. Now, we pray once, we confess many times, but we only pray once. Here we go. The prayer of faith should be prayed only once concerning each specific need. If we prayed the prayer of faith 10 times concerning the same need, then at least 9 out of the 10 times would be prayed in doubt or in unbelief. All right, you can see that. All right, now, let me say that I wouldn't get overly hung up over this point, like, I prayed 5 years ago and I can never again pray about that. Well, don't get completely stuck on that point. But don't pray the prayer of faith yesterday and today, and you'll pray it again tomorrow for the same thing, because you're clearly not understanding what's going on. All right. You know, one time Jesus laid hands on somebody that was blind, and then when he, stood back and, took his hands off of the man said, "Oh, I see men walking around these trees." And then, Jesus prayed again. So, there is some room to go back to situations and to ensure that the prayer has stuck. But really, if we understand what we're doing, we make the prayer stick the first time. All right, does that make sense? Okay. So to pray the prayer of faith for sick people to be healed, for example, we need to know that it is God's will for them to be healed. And we need to have a specific promise in God's word that states God's will. You know, here in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, it speaks about Abraham and about God's dealings with Abraham. How God moved the man from not having any children, from being too old to have children at a certain point, from being married to a wife that was barren, who at one stage got too old and passed her childbearing age, to still have a son and to become the father of many nations, all right? God worked with this man. In fact, he worked with this couple, with Abraham and with Sarah. And then it says here in verse 20 of Romans 4, it says, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God. So evidently, he had a promise from God, and he didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Being fully convinced. Having faith concerning something means we are fully convinced about God's ability and about God's willingness to make good his promise in the lives, in our lives, and in the lives of others. All right, fully convinced. When we are fully convinced, we are in a position to pray the prayer of faith. While we're still wavering, I'm not sure if I can have this. I'm not sure if I'm, good enough. A lot of people have got condemnation in their lives. They don't feel they qualify for certain things and so forth. And while they're oscillating like this, the Bible says, do not be double-minded, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 8 or thereabouts. Okay. So we need to be sure we become fully convinced. Now, I would suggest that Abraham was not always fully convinced in his whole journey along the way. Because if he had been fully convinced, he would have not fallen into that situation as his wife suggested, that saying, "Oh gosh, Abraham, this is not working. I can't have children, and before you get way too old to have children, why don't you take my servant girl and just have a child with her, and we use her as a surrogate mother, and so we can have a child." And of course, that produced a man called Isaac. Isaac was then born, but he is not the son of promise. He is the son of the... Ishmael. Ishmael. That produced Ishmael. Sorry, I made a major mistake there. All right, so Abraham and Hagar, which was the servant girl, they produced a boy called Ishmael. And of course, Ishmael was man's attempt to bring about God's will, but it's not God's will. God says, no. He says, he's not the son of promise. He says, you will have a son with Sarah, your wife. All right. And so Abraham wasn't fully convinced all the way along, from the time that God gave him the promise to the time that the boy was actually conceived and born, but he became fully convinced. So here's the deal. Abraham had the promise from God to make him a father of many nations and to give him a son through his wife Sarah, because we've got scripture references there to that effect. And the question is, how did... or where did Abraham get the faith from to believe? Well, he got it from the promise. And actually, God working with the man way back when he was still in Ur of the Chaldeans, and God appeared to Abraham and spoke to him. He says, come out of your country, come away from your father's house. He says, to a land that I will show you, and I will bless you, and I will multiply you, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful. So there's a kind of a general statement about the overall blessing, and as things journeyed along, one day God says to Abraham, Abraham says to God, he says, well, God, what are you going to give me? He says, seeing I go childless. And everything that I own is going to go to my servant called Eliezer of Damascus. He says, what are you going to give me? And God entered into a covenant with him. At that point, he says, no. He says, I'm going to give you. He says, I'll make you the father of many nations. And so God worked with him, promise after promise. First in a general sense, but then in a specific way. And friends, when we pray the prayer of faith, we want to be very specific. You know, light's fantastic, it's been said, but when you bundle light, you turn it into laser, it becomes very, very powerful. And so it is for us when we believe in the general blessing of God, but when we bundle this thing into a specific need from a specific verse of Scripture where God promises us something, that is very, very powerful. So where did Abraham get the faith from to believe? Well, he got it from the promises of God. And how did he become fully convinced of what God had promised, that God was able and willing to perform? Well, Abraham became convinced through repeated confession. He confessed over and over and heard it over and over when God changed his name from Abram, which means exalted father or something to that effect, to father of many nations. He confessed it. He heard it when they called Abraham. He heard it. He confessed it. He introduced himself as, I am Abraham. And he said it over and over and over until one day it registered in his spirit to the extent that it made alive his body that by now was too old to produce a child. And the faith also made alive Sarah's body that was a barren woman up to that point in time and by now beyond her childbearing age, and they came together and they had a child, and that of course was Isaac, who became the father then of the whole Jewish nation here. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and then the 12 sons and so forth. So being fully convinced. Sometimes when we read the scripture and we find a verse, it's like, wow, you know, a desire rises up. Like, oh, gosh, God promises me healing here. God promises me provision. God promises me this. And hope rises up. But when we, as we meditate in that scripture and begin to declare it and confess it, and faith rises in our heart. And at that point, we pray the prayer of faith, not the prayer of uncertainty, or not the prayer of, oh, I hope this is going to work, but we pray the prayer of faith. And point number three, it means that we receive the answer to our specific need at the time when we pray. Now, this is a big one. This is very, very important. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus just got through, speaking to his disciples. In fact, he's still speaking to his disciples. He talked to them about the God kind of faith. And then here he says, "Therefore, I say to you," verse 24, "whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Now, the casual reader of the scripture will probably miss something in here, and that is this, that we got two tenses going on grammatically in the original text right here. First of all, we got the present tense. He says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. And then it says, and you will have them. And in the second portion of the, in that second phrase here, he says, you will have them. Will have is future tense. Is that right? Present tense and future tense. It goes on, and as I say, we've got it in the outline here. It's having the things that we ask for in prayer depend on us believing that we receive when we pray. So in other words, the receiving is done at the time when we pray, and the having happens at some point in the future. And if people don't understand this, they will go around and around and try to pray the prayer of faith over and over and over, but it's not a prayer of faith, because this is one of the rules to the prayer of faith that we must receive when we pray. So what does that look like? Well, I go before God, and say, if there is a need in my life in the area of healing or a need in the area of finances, Lord, in fact, we'll go through that step by step very shortly. But I go before God and I remind God of the scripture that I am standing on, the scripture that's given me the faith. And I pray and I say, thank you, Father, that you promised me in your word. And I receive healing now. I receive provision now. I receive whatever I need right now when I pray. And then the Bible says, I shall have it. And shall have is future, or will have is the future. So the receiving is done at the time when we pray, and the shall have is done at some point in the future. Now, again, going back to the things that Brother Hagin used to teach, he will pray for people in a prayer line, say for healing and so forth. And he would pray for them. And, you know, we need to be mindful that the man stood in the office of a prophet, amongst other things. And sometimes people like him come on a bit stronger than what other people would. But he would pray for them, and he would look at them and say, did you get it? And they said, I hope so. He said, you didn't get it. Because we need to receive when we pray. We receive at the time when we pray. And he would move on and move on to the next person. Or sometimes he would work with them a little bit more and make sure that they receive when they pray. And then the Bible says they shall have. And the shall have is dependent on receiving when we pray. So there's present tense, we are praying, say right now, we're receiving right now, and we shall have in an hour, in a day, in a week, whatever that time frame is involved. And usually, that's the deal. There is a time frame involved between the receiving and the having. All right? So there's the receiving, and then there's the having. Because what people do is, and you know, there is such a thing as a healing, divine healing that begins the moment prayer is had, and it'll be completed sometimes in a matter of minutes, hours, a couple of days, a couple of weeks. And then there is when we pray and a miracle happens on the spot, like a person is like miraculously healed on the spot, and like praying and healed, and it's all done in one deal. Well, the prayer of faith, as I say, you know, for many things that we pray for, it's not an instant miracle, but it doesn't mean it hasn't happened. It doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. So the deal is this, that we pray, we receive, and then we hold on by faith what we have received until this thing manifests in our lives at some point in the future. I was at a funeral yesterday. A friend of mine went to heaven earlier on last week, and we were, you know, privileged to officiate at the service there, and trust God that, you know, that we were able to help the family to deal with things, and also, you know, encourage people all around to, you know, to make sure that they're saved, and, you know, when they get to the end of their lives, that they will ultimately get to heaven, because Jesus says you must be born again. Anyway, long story short, there was a man that got up to share, a man that had known the deceased very well, and he says, we were in a meeting together, and there was a man that prayed for people, and there was a woman there with what I suppose is called a club foot, where one foot was way shorter than the other one, or one leg rather, way shorter. So the man said, look, he says, take this thing off and let's pray. And apparently the club foot, you know, the shoe was sort of with a heel on it about yay high to compensate for the short leg. And he says, take this thing off and let's pray. And as the man prayed, before their very eyes, this leg grew out. And this woman is walking around in a daze with her shoe in her hand. She says, I can't believe this. I can't believe what's just happened here. I can't believe it. Well, the immediate that tells us it wasn't her faith that got her healed. All right, it wasn't her faith. And it was the faith of the man that prayed for her. Well, actually, it goes beyond that. Now we're getting into the nine gifts of the Spirit, where there is a gift called the working of miracles that initiated this miraculous manifestation of God's power in like one hit. And many people would like it that way all the time, but it doesn't work like that all the time. And the Bible says that the gifts operate as God wills, but faith operates all the time. So that Brother Hagin used to say, he says, wonderful in the meetings if we get the miracles, and you know, the gifts are operating, gifts of healing, gifts of working of miracles, says, but if the gifts are not operating, we're praying by faith. All right? We can still get it, but we need to now use our own faith. And as I said, this woman didn't get that miracle by her own faith. She got it by the, you know, in the first instance, this man initiating this prayer. And actually, Smith Wigglesworth was a man of great faith. And in his writings, he talked about, he says, when he prays for a situation, he says, I reach out to God with my faith and for all the faith that I can muster up. And he says, and then comes a faith from heaven. And that is then the gift of faith that then comes, that operates for that moment, for that one instance, and then it's not necessarily there the next time. It may be, but as the gifts operate as God wills, and God has distributed different gifts to different members in the body of Christ as he wills. All right? So praise God when the gifts are in operation. But the gifts are not always in operation. And when we pray for somebody and say, the gift is not there, we can't say, you go home, you just have to put up with this. No, then we pray by faith. All right? We pray by our faith, and we're receiving by faith, and we're trusting God all the way through until this thing manifests in their lives. And then specifically for that one need, we no longer need to use faith because the healing is now manifested. Now we use our faith to stay healed. And sadly, some people always wait until they're sick before they start looking for faith. And as I say, it's just trusting God for divine health, that we are walking in divine health and not have to get sick all the time before, you know, before we begin to use faith. So again, there's usually a time frame involved between the receiving and the having. And the question should be asked, what do I do between the receiving and the having? How do I deal with that time of, as it were, you know, waiting from the time that we've prayed and received to the time that this thing manifests? Well, again, Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Read the scripture again. We did before. But there is a key in here. It says, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. What do I do between praying and receiving and then actually having? I give glory to God. I thank God. Thank God that you've answered my prayer. Thank you, Lord God, that I believe that I'm healed now. Thank you, Lord, that your miraculous provision is mine right now. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, whatever I've prayed for, that I have received, and I thank you for it. So giving glory to God is probably one of the best faith actions from the time that we've prayed and received to the time that we actually have. Abraham, Bible tells us here, he gave glory to God from the time that God promised him a son to the time that Isaac was conceived and born. And as we said, you know, Abraham had a couple of hiccups along the way, but at one point he got fully convinced. And when he was fully convinced, the power of God came into operation. And in fact, it seems, as I was reading after some of the Bible commentators, they said that Abraham and Sarah had to get past their own ability and past their own trying to help God out, so that when the miracle of them finally happened, that all the glory got to God rather than, oh, look, Sarah, what we managed to do, we produced a boy. No, it was way beyond that by now. All right. It was a supernatural a deal that went on there for Abraham to be strengthened in faith and actually strengthened physically, and for Sarah to be healed and strengthened physically so that they were able to bring forth that son called Isaac. You see, thanksgiving to God is the most appropriate expression of our faith from the time that we've prayed and received to the time that we actually have what we prayed for. So as we near the end of this message here, to let's wrap things up. And how do I actually pray the prayer of faith? Well, where do I find faith? I find faith in the written word of God. It's the promise that gives me the faith. So I go to the Bible and I find a promise that covers my specific need. You know, this is where, you know, the gainsayers don't understand, because they say, oh, you know, you people, you are the name it and claim it. And I says, that's exactly right. I go to the scripture, I find it, and I name that scripture, and I claim what God promises me, like right there. So we name it and then claim it. That's why I say, when they say, oh, you are those, I says, guilty as charged. That's exactly what we do. All right, because that's part of the operation of faith. And as I said, sometimes people, you know, they say silly things when they don't understand. And you know, I'm not offended by that. People just mostly speak out of their ignorance. And somehow, you know, they don't know anything better than to bag other people or other groups that they're not part of, and so forth. But look, we go to the scripture, we find a promise. Number one, find a promise in God's word that covers your specific need. Then secondly, and by the way, this is not as much as of a formula of prayer. I just don't really like to drill down into thing, oh, this is what you do every time and it'll work for you every time. As I say, prayer is a relationship, but there are certain steps that we go through, and here are the steps. So you find the promise in God's word, number one. Number two, or letter B, you take the scripture to God in prayer and you say something like this. It does not have to be exactly this wording, but something like this. Father God, I thank you that you said in your word, and then you quote the scripture. Because it's that scripture that's giving you faith. It's that scripture that you're standing on. And you want to know what scripture you're standing on. And then you say, Lord, according to your promise, I ask and I receive whatever, you know, your need is. And there you want to be specific. Don't just say, oh, Lord, give me a general blessing. Be specific. If it's healing, let it be healing. If it's provision, let it be provision. If it's changing a situation, then let it be that. And then you say, I thank you that you have heard my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. And then at that point, you thank God that he has answered your prayer and that he's met your need. You have received what you prayed for at the time when you prayed. And as we pointed out earlier on, if that's what you've done, and you continue to hold fast to the confession of your faith, and, you know, give thanks to God, then you shall have at some point in the future. All right. Father God, you said in your word. And as many times when I do exactly that, we say, thank you, Lord, that you said. To me, this is a general statement, and we'll close very shortly. Prayer, and actually all types of prayer, the best way to go about it is rather than to come from our point of need, we come from what God said, and we pray God's word back to him. Pray the word back to him. Now, God knows it, but he wants to know if you know it. All right? And people sometimes, and as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, that sometimes go on a rapid trial as they pray and they tell God the problem and they tell a whole story. It's like, God knows that already. God's not impressed by that. And God's not impressed by whining, by begging. God does not operate on the basis of begging. God operates on the basis of his written word. All right? That's why he's given us his word. That's why you and I study the word to find out what are the rules of prayer here. As I said, it's interesting that Brother Hagin used to say that that he says, you know, when you're praying for a young Christian, and of course he was in, you know, pastoring Pentecostal churches, you know, what we would call spirit-filled churches, or what they used to call full gospel churches, where they, you know, they preach the full gospel, they preach salvation, they preach healing, they preach prosperity, they preach the full gospel, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And he said, you get a young Christian, it's the easiest thing in the world to get them healed, he said, because I can use my faith for them to get them healed. He says, but after a while, God expects them to develop their own faith. And then after a while, God wants them to use their own faith and actually use their faith to get somebody else that's young in the Lord or pre-saved to get them healed. He says, you get people coming from other, you know, denominations to our healing meetings where they're not hearing the full gospel. He says, the easiest thing to get them healed. But he says, after a while, he says, as a pastor, he says, that used to really disturb me. He says, I used to be able to get people healed, and then the same people come to me 5 years later, and they got another situation going on, and suddenly I pray for them, but there's not that same power there that was before. In fact, he speaks about his own sister that got cancer. And he says that, he prayed to the Lord on behalf of his sister, and he used his faith as, you know, for healing. And he says, and she got healed. Miraculous. She got healed, and she went, you know, just bounced out of that deal that would otherwise have killed her. She got absolutely healed. He says, five, six years later, she got sick again. This time it was cancer again, but it was another cancer unrelated to the first one. And he went to God, and He prayed. And he says, no, he says, God told him, and this is, you know, a prophet. God told him, he says, no, your sister's going to die. He says, your sister's going to die. She's had 5 years from that healing that she received. She had 5 years to study the word, 5 years to educate herself spiritually, 5 years to, you know, to learn how to make it work for herself, and she hasn't done it. She's going to die. And die she did. Now, I know that these are very strong situations, but friends, there's something about us learning. There's something about us laying a hold of this truth. There's something about us being in the house. Friends, it's more important to be in the house in these last days. More important now. It's always been important, but it's more important now because we need strong faith in these last days. We don't know everything that's coming, but Bible says in the last days there will be perilous times, stressful times, and we want to build our faith. And I usually say, let's build our faith in the times of peace, so that in the time of battle our faith is working. You don't sharpen your axe when you're already hitting the tree. You sharpen your axe before you get there. And so we're sharpening our faith in these last days. And praise God. Let me just read one last scripture and then we're going to wrap up. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and verse 15. It says, this is the confidence that we have in him, in God, in Christ, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have desired of him. So we know the will of God. And as it says here, it says that if we pray according to God's will or in line with God's will, which is in line with God's word, then God hears us. So the indication here is that certain prayers God doesn't hear. That's the indication. All right, because God hears everything. God knows everything. God knows everything that goes on. But if we want to be heard by God in answers, we need to know the will of God. And then it says, then we know that whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. And so that's that whole aspect of knowing the will of God and praying the will of God. And there's numerous times when I get into numerous prayer meetings, or when I pray, when I quote this very scripture, say, Father God, I thank you that this is the confidence that I have, that if I ask anything in accordance with your will, you hear me. All right, you hear me? Is that nothing to do now with whether I'm, you know, feel that I'm good enough, or whether I feel condemned, or whether the devil tries to bombard my mind to tell me something, that I've said something back here or done something back here that disqualifies me from? No. I'm going on the basis of God's word. I'm not going on the basis of my feelings, and I'm certainly not going on the basis of the lies of the devil. God says He will hear me if I pray in accordance with His will. And if I know I'm heard, then I know that I have but the petition that we have desired from Him. So my brother, my sister, let me encourage you. Every Christian is a student of the Word of God. And most certainly prayer will be one of those basic things that we want to learn, we want to understand, and want to really sharpen up in this area in our faith walk, so that our faith is working when it's needed. And God bless you with that. We're going to close right here. We're going to get the worship team to come up, and let's just sing one last song. And if anybody needs prayer, then feel free to get down the front, and we will pray for you. We will pray with you. And let's trust God together that we're going to an entirely new level in our faith walk with the Lord.
Thanks for watching Victory Christian Center. For more content, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, or you can subscribe to our podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, or Google Podcasts. Check out our website at victory.net.nz. We'll see you again soon.